Hallelujah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. We're going to go ahead and gather ourselves together to go into our final portion of today's Sabbath service. And we're going to open up with a prayer. Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again on this holy Shabbat day that Thou has ordained before us to praise You, to worship You, to honor You, for You're truly worthy. All praises, all glory, honor, and majesty, my Yah. And we ask that Thou mayest please forgive us for our sins, transgressions, and iniquities, all our foolish and abominable ways and thoughts. And we ask that Thou mayest continue to be well pleased for Your righteousness' sake, my Yah, and allow this blessed day to be blessed upon us, that we may be increased and inspired in our spirits of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. My Yah, we thank You for not only the spiritual food that we have received, but the physical food that You've been so merciful to bless us to receive. May it fulfill us and our souls and down to our bones. My Yah, we love You. We praise You. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. Amen. And at this time, it's truly my honor, privilege, and pleasure to be able to call up our next speaker. Moravian teacher in the House of Israel, been teaching in the community in the House of Israel for over 25 years. This Moray is the co-founder of the Sacred Laws Conference. He's also host of Nothing But the Truth, which airs every 6 nights from 8 to 9:30. He is our elder, Moray. He's a minister ordained by Yah. Streets led by certainly Yah Moray Elite. And I call him up at this time. He's also my father, Moray Ishaya. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Let me say shalom to everyone. Everybody knows. He said no. Again, let me say Shabbat shalom to our full brothers and sisters all together. The House of Israel, Shabbat shalom. All the great brothers of the House, shalom. All the daughters of the House, the daughters of Zion, Shabbat shalom. Our internet listening audience on YouTube, as well as those who's listening by way of blog talk, I know the only reason you're listening, it is because of fear towards Elohim. Let me say Shabbat shalom to them. We're going to get right into, unless there's any questions today's class. Of course, as many of you all know, most of us, not all of us, but most of us will be in Atlanta, Georgia next week. I did see the for the play, Deuteronomy 28. And so after class or during the week before we leave me, so you can get your tickets. We all supporting the play supports also the class and the endeavors that we have. So we do have those. There will be a text to let you all know how we will do class. Of course, Naftali will be here. And so we'll get with Naftali to see how we're going to do everything for those who still will be here. I'm almost for certain he plans on being here. But if not, he'll make an announcement to that. what else was it? I think that was everything. We, of course, going to have a good time in Atlanta, Georgia, with the play, with the conference. Everyone know what we're going to be there dealing with, right? The conference subject matter. Number one, why hold you between two opinions? Why can't Israel move? Why is Israel halt between different opinions? All we have is one Elohim, one Father, one law. So why is there too many opinions? Y'all can't hear me on my mic? Is that better? Why hold you between two opinions? This is not the desires of the Most High. This is not how we fulfill His pleasures, by having different opinions. We're not a nation or a people made up of different opinions. We are made up by and according to the Word of God. And then the second thing we will be dealing with is, let every matter be established by two or more witnesses. Because we ultimately have to learn that the things that we teach and the things that we believe, we have to be able to establish these things. We just can't go around saying, well, that's how you see it, and this is how I see it. At some point in time, you're going to have to establish these things coming out of your mouth. And that's in your head. And oftentimes, this is what I hear from people. And little do people know, the Almighty said He will hold us accountable for how many works? Yeah. Every work, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So a lot of things we don't even realize are evil. If you're going to believe things, just don't spout them out unless you're going to be prepared and ready to establish them. So we all believe things that we are unsure of. I know I do. I have things I can tell you all day long. One thing I wanted to teach about, and I'd be a little scared to teach about it because I don't want to freak people out. And that's about the angels. So I just hold my peace a little bit because it's fascinating to me. But I know then if I teach it, then some things I can't establish, you might see it as absolute. When I'm just not totally for sure, but I have good circumstantial evidence. But as a teacher, I try not to teach circumstantial evidence. And then the last thing we deal with at the conference, in particular on the Sabbath day, is what's going on in these last days. Everything about the last days we will try to address and deal with. Maybe the election, maybe the trouble that we foresee coming, we in today, maybe how much time do we have left. But we will definitely deal with the last days. But right, taking the questions, how many people, just by a show of hands, how many people say before the end we have about 10 years left? Raise your hand. If you say we have 9 years left, raise your hand. How about 8 years? 8 years left, raise your hand. How many people think we have 6 years? Raise your hand. How many people say we have 5 years left? Raise your hand. How many people say we have 4 years left? Raise your hand. Raise your hand high so I can see these hands. All right. How many people say 3 years left? Raise your hand. How many people say 2 years left? Raise your hand. How many people say we have 1 year left to the end of this captivity? Raise your hand. How many believe we don't have no years left? It's about to happen at the end of this year.
Any day
now. Right. So the question, whatever you believe, who all just don't know? Raise your hand. All right. Well, whatever you believe, then all right, those who are listening by way of YouTube, text me if we're coming in loud and clear. I know you all could not hear me not long ago. If you hear me and we're coming in good, text me and say all is good. Hashem,
we still have
some, Azariah.
It's a wedding going on down there as well, down in Atlanta.
I don't know. Yeah, I really don't. I mean, I heard it was, but you know, I don't heard about weddings, and then we get there, and I was not invited to a wedding, so. So I don't want to take the time and everybody said all is good on the internet. All right, Azariah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
I got a quick question. My question is, when the Most High says that he will make full end of all the nations that served off of us, does that mean when Most High reestablishes his kingdom, the people that served off of us that will make it won't actually just be a nation? It may just be families of people that make it, or just individuals, such as like the Edomites, for example.
No, the word full means a complete. So when the Almighty question, according to the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, says, all those nations who serve themselves off of us, who the Almighty scattered us to, he will make a full end of those nations, but not make a full end of us. And does that mean he will completely destroy and now many of the families that or nations that we know of today? And the truth is, yes, a lot of these nations have to go. As a matter of fact, many of these nations only here for a purpose anyway, and they fulfill their purpose. And so there come a time where in the last days, the Almighty said, all the families of the earth, even Israel won't be the multitudes that they once was. Because many people just have to die. And why? Because our people, according to the Most High and according to his words, our people refuse to listen. He said our people are stiff-necked and hard-hearted. And I was talking about this last week, and I was asking some people about why is it that, and if you can answer this, just raise your hand and answer it. Why is it that Israel is so stiff-necked and hard-hearted and rebellious? and refuse to listen. The Creator said if he had given his word to anyone else, they would have hearkened. But Israel will not hearken unto the prophets. They won't even hearken to the Most High. And he said, because we are very rebellious. And why is Israel so rebellious? Consider that. If you got the answer, raise your hand. Another question was asked. Sometimes the internet, it does, YouTube do go in and out for those who are listening by the way of YouTube. And we're going to try to do some things concerning that.
If anybody in here has their phone linked to our wireless network, take it off, please. Anybody has their phone linked to our wireless network, please take your phone off our wireless network.
Now, I'm assuming that will help. Yeah, sometimes if there's too many people on one network, then that can present problems. People are trying to listen in. A question was asked, as far as the wilderness is concerned, are we going to be there for 40 years this second time or no? Well, in the wilderness for 40 years is because when the Creator took us out of the land of Egypt, he told us to spy out the land. We spied out the land for how many days? 40 days. And as a result of spying out the land for 40 days, most of our people brought back an evil report. And because of this, the Almighty said, we will be in the wilderness for 40 years. So I can't say we will be in the another wilderness like the days of old for 40 years when we don't know what would transpire first. God didn't tell them. He knew. He didn't tell them that they were going to be in the land in the wilderness for 40 years. As a matter of fact, the scriptures plainly said it was a 3-day journey from the Holy Land. But they end up walking in circles for 40 years. So I don't know where we're going to be. It don't seem so, but I won't teach it. Then I have to establish things that I really can't establish. The scripture does talk about our people being in the wilderness. So a lot of Israelites are torn. They're torn between whether this is the wilderness that we're in now, or is there a wilderness that will ultimately we will go in as a people, and there we will be judged. And so you do have that dynamic, and that's why a lot of people asking, well, how long are we going to be in this wilderness that the Creator said he will plead with us face to face? One day we might go into details about this. Yes, sir.
We have a structured plan about, you know, if it happens next year, what do we ought to do as a congregation?
Yes, we have a structured plan as a congregation. We have a structured plan as individuals and as families. We have a structured plan as a people. And there's only one plan, and that is Yah's plan. And what did Yah say we supposed to do in the last days? Gather ourselves together. And then once we got ourselves together, what are we to do? We got to seek Yah, seek righteousness, seek meekness. And after we seek righteousness and seek meekness and seek Yah, then what? We shall find him. And it may be that we might be hid in a day of Yah's anger. And that's the formula. And you have to know what seeking Yah is all about, because if you don't know, what's going to happen is, according to the Most High, according to his word, he said when his destruction come as a whirlwind and ill and calamity and anguish and distress come upon you, you shall call and he shall what? He shall not answer. You shall seek him early, but ye shall not what? You're not going to find him, because you have rejected knowledge, or not rejected, he said, because you hated knowledge. And so, and you despise his word. Excuse me. So, we know what to do. We just have to circumcise our heart to what? Just to do it. Just to do it. And just look at the remnant, who you know was part of the remnant of the days of old. Look at those type of individuals and characters, and then study them and follow their example. Like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Follow their examples. Look at Caleb and Yehoshua. Follow their example. The only group of Israelites that the Almighty planned on them being a part of his remnant that you're not able to name is those that are below 20. So many of our children at a certain time, they will walk in. They will walk in. And the Almighty is not about to create a society of mothers and fatherless. You got to have one or the other. So the Creator will have, which goes right back to the leaders calls the people to what? So the brothers really got to get it together more than anybody. I can't emphasize that enough. And if you don't believe me, I can assure you, you will see. And you don't have to believe me, because I believe we've established that. It's the leaders that cause the people to err. And those that are led are what? So ain't no sense of the brothers sitting there complaining about their women, because the buck stopped with who? So I'm not sure about the wilderness. And then another question was asked last week, and I forgot to get to it. The question was asked last week, so we don't have to leave where we are. Yah's going to gather us. Then why are Israel, when Yah said he was going to gather us, where he driven us? And this is the truth. A lot of Israelites teach and believe we have to get out of America. And they making plans to get out of America. And they not making plans to get out of America because Yah said he was bringing evil and distress and anguish upon the people. They leaving because a man got elected. They leaving because they see America is fallen. The great whore. Daughter of Babylon. So their fear is in man. And so they say, man, we got to get out of here. Where's your fear towards Yah? Yah is supposed to be your fear and supposed to be your dread. Who all know all the 12 tribes of Israel? Raise your hand. You know all the 12 tribes. Yes, yes. Well, I just write down, do you know all 12 tribes? Everybody's hand should be raised. These are your fathers. This is your history. Shalim scared. He think I'm going to call on him. He's just shaking in his boots. Don't give yourself away. You sit there confident. He praying right now. Who all know the 12 tribes in order? I know Abraham ain't raising his hand. Abraham was so embarrassing the other day. It was, and now he's laughing because he was just as embarrassing. Both of them, it was embarrassing. All right. Well, do the teachers know the 12 tribes? Huh? Y'all know the order too? Please don't say that on camera. Please. Well, everybody turn to the book. Turn to the book of Exodus. The 28th chapter first. Exodus 28. As Naphtali was teaching, and I think Ishai, and I really didn't get to hear both of their presentations, but I think both of them, brought out this, that wisdom is the principal thing. But with all thy getting, get what? And this is the thing about understanding and the thing about wisdom. They both are spirits. And now, Naphtali pointed out the fact, he pointed out seven pillars of wisdom. And he lets you know that the book, the word of Yah, is that pillar. And you have it right here with you. But this book have no life except through the spirit that the Almighty put in here. And the spirit that he put in here must be in you. Because if it's not in you, you're not going to understand nothing in this book. This book might as well be Chinese, and you won't even understand it. And you'll say to yourself, well, I thought this was the book of Yah, and I thought his word was a spirit. So why don't I understand it? Because you don't have the spirit to understand it. And you want to have that spirit. At the first verse.
Exodus 28:1 reads, "And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from amongst the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garment for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise in it, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garment to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work.
You can keep that to your mouth. All right, go ahead. Just turn your page and then start reading again. Go ahead.
And it shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it shall be of the same according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones and grave on them the names of the children of Israel.
And it says, and this is, isn't this the book of the law? And so don't we have to know the law? And of course, this is something the priest had to do, but did not the Creator tell us that we're supposed to know all his laws, all his commandments, all his statutes and judgments? Because if we did know him, we might take this and start making us a breastplate and walking around in it. But watch what it says.
Six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest of the other stones, according to their birth.
According to their birth. So it's very important that we know their birth, because this is what we had to put on the shoulder pieces of this breastplate. And not only we had to know that, read the 17th verse. Start there.
And thou shalt set it in settings of stone.
Start at the 15th verse.
And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set it in the settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a topaz and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond, a lingier, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper, shall be set in gold in their enclosing. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engraving of a signet. Everyone with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes.
In other words, these stones represent the 12 tribes. Well, if you don't know the birth, how could you know which stone represent which tribe? And how can you prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this stone represent the very tribe that you think and believe and say it's supposed to represent according to the law? Now, I did an internet search, and I did this internet search to see which names represented or which stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. And 99.9% of the stones were representative of the 12 tribes, which are written in the book of Genesis 49. Turn there. In the book of Genesis 49, now remember, this is the law. This is what had to be on the breastplate and shoulders of the breastplate. This is the law. In Genesis 49, it lets you know the sons of Israel. And this is what will befall them in the last days. But I think this is correct. This 99% of what I've read is what is recorded in Genesis 49. And then, so for instance, in the third verse, the first son mentioned is who? All right. Now, I want y'all to write this down or keep a memory tab of it. The third verse, you have Reuben, which is number one, firstborn. In the fifth verse, you have Simeon, two, and Levi, three. In the eighth verse, Yehuda, four. In the 13th verse, Zebulun. Five or six, Issachar in the 14th verse. Number seven is Dan in the 16th verse. Number eight is Gad in the 19th verse. Number 10 is Asher, right? In the 20th verse. Naphtali, number 11, in the 21st verse. Or take that back. Naphtali is number 10 in the 21st verse. Joseph is 11 in the 22nd verse. And Benjamin is 12 in the 27th verse. Y'all have that? Now, is this how the birthstone should represent? Who say yes? Raise your hand. The birth order that we're reading in Genesis 49. In other words, this, what we're reading in Genesis 49, what would befall them in the last days, is this the order of the stones? So as we read the stones, the 12 stones, this is how we, these are the names that will be in that order. Is Genesis 49 representative of those stones? Who else? Yes, again. All right. One, two. Anybody else? Go to Genesis 29. Genesis 29. In the book of Genesis 29, this is how the 12 tribes was born from their mothers. In Genesis 29, we're going to start at the 32nd verse, and I'm going to get right to it. It says, and Leah conceived and bare a son. She called his name what? So that's number one. Then number two, and she conceived again and bare a son. In the 33rd verse, because y'all have heard that I was hated, and she called his name what? That's two. And then in the 34th verse, and she conceived again, bare a son, and she called his name Levi. That's three. And then in the 35th verse, and she conceived again, and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise Yah. And she called his name Yehuda. And then Raquel saw that she didn't have no children, and she got a little upset, jealous, and so she asked Jacob to go into her handmaid, Bilhah, and Jacob did. And so in the fourth verse, it says, and she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bare a son. And Rachel said, Elohim have judged me and have also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name what? Dan, which is number what? Five. Then Bilhah's Rachel's maid conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And she said, with great wrestling have I wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, which is number six. And then when Leah saw that she had left barren, and she also had a maid, and she gave her maid Zilpah to Jacob. 11th verse, and Leah said a troop coming, and she called his name what? Gad, which is number what? 7. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob his second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed, and she called his name what? Asher, which is number 8. But then, in the 18th verse, Leah got hold to some mandrakes, sold them. In the 18th verse, and Leah said, Elohim had given me my hire because I've given my maiden to my husband. She called his name Issachar, which is number what? 9. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the 6th son. And Leah said, Elohim have endowed me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me because I bore him 6 sons. And she called his name Zebulon. That's what? 10. And Elohim remembered Rachel and hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, Elohim have taken away my reproach. And she called his name Yosef. 11. And of course, she bare again, conceived again, bare a son. And she called his name what? 12. So, is that the representative of the 12 stones in the breastplate? Who all say yes? Raise your hand. That's when they were born. Anybody? You said that's 2 witnesses? In other words, what we read in Genesis 49 was this. They're not the same order, Genesis 49? Huh? So y'all see which one is right. In other words, some got to represent 12 tribes, right? The stones. But nobody choose when they was actually born, huh? All right. Well, go to the book of Exodus, the 1st chapter. Because we need to know the law. We need to know what represents these stones. You can't have no sapphire representing any tribe. It represents the tribe that it's supposed to represent. An emerald represents the tribe that it's supposed to represent. A ruby represents the tribe that it's supposed to represent. And we should know what each tribe represents. Exodus, the 1st chapter. And this is what it says. In Exodus, the 1st chapter, it says in the 1st verse, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man, his household, came with Yaakov. Let you know who they are. Number 1, Reuben. 2, Simeon. 3, Levi. 4, Yehuda. 5, Issachar. 6, Zebulun. Now, it is true that it won't mention Joseph because he was already where? He was already there. So you all had to decide where he go. It says Zebulun, Benjamin. We stopped 5 at Zebulun, right? All right. No, we stopped. Zebulun is number what? 6. Issachar is 5. Then whoever's number 7, well, we'll say Benjamin. Then, okay, Benjamin, 7. Dan 8, Naphtali 9, Gad 10, Asher 11, and where are you putting Joseph? He should be number 11. Somebody had number 11. Huh? What'd she say? So you got to put Joseph somewhere. So who all say, without really knowing yet where to put Joseph, who all say this represents the 12 tribes, the stones? Well, that's what we're trying to determine, if this the order y'all put it in. Somebody put it in this order. It's not the order that was in Genesis 29. It was not the order that was in Genesis 48. So somebody put it in this order. And these stones got to represent the 12 tribes. And that's the what? That's the law. Not only that, show you something else. Look at Exodus 24. Since we're in Exodus. Exodus 24. In the book of Exodus 24, and watch what this says in Exodus 24, and I'm going to start at the first verse. And he said unto Moshe, come up unto Yah, thou, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moshe alone shall come near Yah, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moshe came and told the people all the words of Yah, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yah has said, we will what? And Moshe wrote all the words of Yah, rose early in the morning, built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars. Wasn't you talking about pillars today? 12 pillars according to the what? I mean, you're going to have to know what these 12 tribes Israel and what they represent, because there's too many things that's supposed to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And you are their descendants. Well, maybe it's neither one of those things that we said. So go to the book of First Chronicles. Let's just go to the Chronicles, and maybe that's going to straighten out the madness. First Chronicles, the second chapter. And what are we discussing? We're discussing, the Almighty said there's 12 stones supposed to be in the breastplate, and they're supposed to be according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so, since Yah is all about order, so should we. And what is the order? It says in the first book of Chronicles, the second chapter, and this is what it says in the first verse. These are the sons of Israel: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Yehuda, 4. Issachar, 5. Zebulun, 6. Dan, 7. Joseph, 8. Benjamin, 9. Naphtali, 10. Gad, 11. And Asher, 12. Is that the same thing that y'all? That's different also, huh? So which one of these are right? We done read what? Four different. We read Genesis, the 49th chapter, Exodus, the first chapter, First Chronicles, the second chapter. All three of those are what? Different. And then we actually read the births when they was born from their mothers, which also seem to be what? Different. Or are they? The scripture still says wisdom is the principal thing, but with all thy getting, get today, which one is right? Yes, ma'am. Well, that was in Genesis, the 49th chapter. Well, and the blessing and the curse, if you want to go there, that's in Deuteronomy 27. Go there. So I can confuse y'all even more. Deuteronomy 27. Was he right?
Yeah.
You sure? Because I'm going to ask him what's the answer. And since you speaking foreign?
Let me go
y'all got to go right now. Don't go right now. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he'll pull it out. The Blog Talk number, they said it's buffering real bad. I don't know the Blog Talk number by heart. 347-838-8963. 347-838-8963. You can text them that, but we only got a few minutes left. We're in Deuteronomy 27. Did we read that yet? All right, now watch the blessing and the curse.
And Moses, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Yehudah and Yishakar and Yosef.
All right, how many is that? 6. Now watch the 13th verse.
And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali.
So that's that order. But what is the truth? Which one? Well, you're right. All of them are the truth. All of them are the truth. But which one represent the 12 stones as well as the 12 pillars? Yes, sir. All right, Deuteronomy 27 and 12, you say. All right. Anyone else? Nobody knows which represent. Nobody know their fathers, huh? Y'all don't know the 12 tribes of Israel in their order? Teachers, which one represents? Genesis 49, Genesis 29, Exodus 1st chapter, 1st Chronicles the 2nd chapter, or Deuteronomy the 27th chapter? 35th? We didn't read that, but we're going to read Genesis 35. And what you say? All right, now let's go to the final place, Exodus 35. I'm sorry, Genesis 35, not Genesis 35, not Exodus 35. Turn there, because we didn't read Genesis 35. We read Exodus 24. But we're in Genesis 35. And Ishah said the answer is in Genesis 35, verse 23. 22 and 23, and this is what it says. Genesis 35, verse 22 and 23.
And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the son of Yaakov were 12.
They were 12. Not 12 years old, but 12. Go ahead.
The sons of Leah.
The sons of Leah. Go ahead.
Reuben, Yaakov's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Yehuda, and Yishakar, and Zebulon. The sons of Rachel, Yosef, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Yaakov, which were born to him in Padan Aram.
All right. So, this is also different. So, which one is correct? Is it, I'm going to say them again, Genesis 29, Genesis 49, Exodus 1, 1 Chronicles, the second chapter, or Genesis 35. All right. Now, show of hands, because we only got a couple of minutes, and I'm going to give y'all the answer. And then we'll talk about it later, because I don't have enough time to talk about it now. And then y'all can either prove me wrong, and I can prove y'all wrong. This is what's going on the breastplate. Who all say Genesis 35? Raise your hand. All right. Don't agree. You're going down with your husband. That's good. That means going down with it. That's good. That's good. I like that. I like that. I don't like no division. Just go down with him. I don't like no division. And now I must admit, though, if she raised their hand first, I'd be like, oh, you're going down with her, huh? All right. We got four, because little man, he, oh, you're not going with the teachers now? Oh, he's going down with you. Okay. All right. Who all say Genesis 49? I bet your wife ain't going down with you. Who all say Genesis 49? Raise your hand. All right. We got one. Only one person agree with the elder who's been here with the longest and know more than most, and she done forgot more things than y'all know. All right, nobody going on that ship with you, Ariel. All right. Exodus, the first chapter. Raise your hand. Who's going with that? Exodus number one. Nobody? Nobody like Exodus 1, okay. Yeah, but they ain't saying that. Yeah, I'm asking them. Yeah, they don't think so. They didn't think y'all was the first witness. First Chronicles, second chapter, raise your hand. Okay, all right, we got one. Anybody else? All right, go on. All right, well, I think I named them all. Oh, Deuteronomy 27. Who's going with Deuteronomy 27? All right. I got Gabby, huh? All right. I didn't see everybody's hands, so some people ain't saying nothing. Who all just, you just crystal clear. I mean, crystal clear. And the fact that you don't have a clue. Raise your hand. All right, I named them all. Now, Abraham, he said he could name them at the beginning. Now, he's crystal clear. He don't have a clue. My goodness. And now, he don't have a clue. But in the beginning, he was the only one raised his hand that he knew. My goodness. Yes, sir. Yes. Maybe they don't. But maybe they do. Yeah, maybe they do. Oh, now I done taught a class for a whole hour, and now they won't know my question. I gave a question an hour ago. All right, let me give you my question. I read Exodus, the 28th chapter, and there were 12 stones in the breastplate. Three in each row, and there were four rows, and they was according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And I was showing how you know what those stones represent. Would not you have to know the birth? The stones represent their birth. It represents their name. So would not we have to know their birth as well as their names? Yeah. Well, look at Exodus 28. Yeah, look at Exodus 28. Look at Exodus 28 and read the 10th verse or the 9th and 10th verse.
It reads, "And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and the other six names of the rest of the others on the other stone, according to their birth."
According to their birth. And so then that's just on the shoulders. But then when you get to the actual breastplate, instead of them breaking down in twos, they breaking them down in what? Fours. But it's still according to their birth. Well, I give y'all the answer, then we'll adjourn, and then we'll come back. Huh? Well, the breastplate, as well as the 12 pillars, as well as the two shoulder pieces, but to be an established witness, you have to see, because it's only one order that you can read twice. There's only one order that you can read twice. And let me tell you what they are and the two places you're going to read them at. You just have to see it. The first place you'll read the order is in the book of Genesis, the 35th chapter. And the second place you'll read that same exact order is Exodus, the first chapter. The only thing is, in Exodus, the first chapter, they left Yosef out of the order because he's already in Egypt. But you have to know where to put him at. And Yosef is the seventh son in order of Jacob. Now, you might say, why do I say that? It's because the Almighty was not going to allow Leah's sons to be separated between sons. Nor was he going to allow Rachel's sons to be separated also. Nor was he going to allow Bilhah's sons to be separated. And nor was he going to allow Zilpah's sons to be separated. So he put them in order. Leah was his first wife. Rachel was his second wife. Rachel was the first person to give her handmaid to Jacob. And then Leah gave her handmaid last. And this is how the order is. And then I'm going to show you all something else about the order. For the scripture says, there's a time and a season for how many things? is a time to die and is a time to be what? And you have to know the time of birth. See, once you learn time, then you understand why they in a certain order. They came at the exact time and the exact order that y'all wanted them to be in. That's why you didn't have one woman having a baby and then his other wife having a baby. Because then is what? Now everything can confuse. The only way that would happen if the Almighty would have took somebody and didn't even count them at all. But no, he wanted all 12 to be counted. But he had to put them in order. And he did. And he was not going to allow the handmaid children to be over his wives. And then we're going to break down each particular son, why that order is so important. And this is the last thing. What is the most important, the greatest day, the most blessed day of Yah that was ever made? What is the blessed, most greatest day that Yah made? Who said that? Well, you're absolutely right. The Sabbath day. Why? Because he not only blessed that day, he what? Matter of fact, it is the only day he even blessed. What is the greatest, most abundant, blessed year of Yah? The seventh year. And that is correct. But who is the number one blessed son of Jacob? Out of all the 12 sons, who is the most blessed, the most sanctified son of Jacob? Well, if you said yourself, you're absolutely correct. It's not even close. And I'm going to show you that. And this is how you know that he's the seventh son. And I did an internet search, and you know how many people had that order? None. None. And I'm going to show y'all why that's the truth and how you can determine just about everything just by knowing time and season. For there's a time and a season for how many things? Any questions, comments before we adjourn?
Yes, I do.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
On that breastplate, we're talking about the Urim.
That's right.
Urim and the
Yeah, the Tumayim or Urim.
Right. Which one is, I guess the Urim is life and the Turim is truth.
That is correct.
And so on that breastplate, since you know, we're speaking on that breastplate, he had to come in there to Almighty with all his stuff.
That's right.
With the breastplate, the 12 tribes, the robe.
That's right.
He had to have all the colors and everything. So it's very beautiful that you're teaching us that, because that's the breastplate of right ruling.
You're absolutely right.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. And also with Hashum is pulling bringing out the fact not only they is coming in with light and truth, but once you study those stones, they all have their colors, right? But it's one stone that have many colors. And y'all know what stone that is? That's right. The stone of Yosef. Same man that had a coat of what? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Exodus 35. Yes. In other words, I'll show you scripture evidence. However, and just to summarize everything, the Almighty was not going to the wives' sons to be separated in their order. So, for instance, Leah, all her six sons were together, no matter how. Matter of fact, when it counted her sons, it counted her sons different than everybody. But nevertheless, it counted her sons, and when it got to her sixth son, because she has borne him six. And, of course, we've been teaching what the six represent, what the fifth represent, what the fourth represent. And do you realize all six sons of Leah all represent the days of the week, as we've been teaching? All six. But the very next son, after the sixth son that Leah had, do you know what son was mentioned after that? After the sixth son of Leah, who had a baby right after that? No, it wasn't. No. Ham may have had babies before then. Well, let me tell y'all who had a baby after the sixth son. You'll read it. Yeah, that's what I mean. Who had the baby after the sixth son? That is correct. The firstborn of Raquel, which was Yosef. So he was the seventh. And Rachel, and then she had Benjamin. Yes, yes. The what? That is correct. That is correct. Yes, that is correct. Yes. Yes. When they seek Yah and ask Him for certain things.
Praise the mighty Yah. That's a beautiful presentation, and I already knew this, and my feelings ain't hurt, because I already know nobody don't listen to my presentations and my teachings. But I do remember teaching about the tribes, and I show how Yosef was the seventh tribe, and during his actual birth, when he was born, this is when his father, Yaakov, asked to be released from Laban. And this was coincide with the seventh year. And so, and I was showing all of this, and I ain't surprised nobody got that. But praise the mighty Yah. We know the tribes now, hopefully. Y'all might have didn't listen again.
Hallelujah. But this is the point, the main point that I wanted to bring out in wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, but with all thy getting, get what? The wisdom is this, that all this relates to time and season. It all relates. There's nothing with Yah that's out of order. Everything with Yah is in order. And you won't find no other scripture where the Almighty will allow the written 12 tribes, how they are written. You will not see no two places where they are the same exact way in order, except for the two scriptures that I gave you. But all on the internet, they have them in the way that is written in Genesis, the 49th chapter. So I just wanted to point that out, to let you know that to see this through wisdom. Wisdom and understanding is a spirit, and it allows you to see things that other people just don't see.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, real quick.
I want to know, how do you hold on to those spirits?
How do you hold on to those spirits? By being diligent, very diligent, keeping your mind on those spirits, taking hold to them. Just like if you want to hold on to your money, what do you do? Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you put it away. You don't spend it. You don't just give it to anybody. You don't just allow it to go away because of your pleasures. Well, this is how you do wisdom and understanding. You hold on to it. You don't just give it to anybody. You don't just throw it away. You don't just cast it to, you know. Oh, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. No, you keep, you hold on to this. You study, you meditate on it. You live in it. And you'll know when to share it. Praise Yah, hallelujah. And really it was the order of the wives in which they bear their children, because it's all about the children. Because Rachel handmaid came after, which was Zilpah, came after Bilhah. But Zilpah or Bilhah came before. Which is Leah's handmaid, came before Rachel's handmaid, Zilpah. But who had their baby first? Zilpah, which was Rachel's handmaid. All right? And that's why hers is listed first. Any other questions, comments? Let us rise. Hallelujah. Study Exodus 35, and y'all see it in Exodus, the first chapter also. Almighty Yah, Creator Universe, Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yisrael, thy servants humbly come before thee on this great and glorious and honorable day that thou hast even adorned before us, even as Shabbat day. And as this day come to a close and the Shabbat come to an end, thy servants just want to praise thy holy, righteous, and exalted name and thank thee, Almighty Yah, for the goodness that thou hast even showed us, the rest that thou hast even given us, and the words of wisdom that thou hast even taught us. Thank thee, Almighty Yah, for everything that thou hast even given us, especially thy mercies, Yah. For thou once again has brought us through another week, protecting us against all hurt, harm, and danger. You've kept the breath of life in our nostrils, that we might praise thy holy, righteous, and exalted name. And we pray this day, Almighty Yah, that as you've been with us this week, please be with us tonight and the weeks to come, Yah. Allow thy spirit to rest in our heart, our mind, and our mouth, that we might meditate in our ways, speak thy truth, and walk righteously before thee. We pray that you will strengthen us according to thy will and righteous ways, that we might fulfill all thy pleasures and do all what is desirable and pleasing unto thee. We pray, Almighty Yah, for all those that are sick and wounded, the poor and the needy, and we plead the cause of the widow and the fatherless, even the stranger, Yah. And we pray, Almighty Yah, that you will continuously bless our hands, by extending our everlasting mercies unto us. Not for anything that we have done, Yah, but we ask, Almighty Yah, you do these things for thy holy, righteous, and exalted namesake. Truly, Almighty Yah, we love you with all our heart, soul, and might. And we worship you, Almighty Yah, for there is no Elohim but thee. There is none beside thee. There is none that can be compared unto thee, for there is none like unto thee. For we love you, Yah. We thank you, Yah. We honor you, Yah. We praise you, Yah. And we worship you, Yah, from this time forth and forevermore. By saying, Hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy. Shemal Yisrael. Yah Elohim. Yah Ikah. Hear, O Israel.
Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh is one.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous and Yah is holy.
May Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. May Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee peace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Yah is righteous
and Yah is holy.
Amen.
And let me say Shabbat Shalom to all those that's listening by the way of internet, YouTube, and Blog Talk. May Yah bless you, for Yah love you, and so do I. Shabbat Shalom.